When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Bulletin.
Always love talking to Lavina Good, and it's great that we're able to do that this morning. We really are. After a busy weekend of sport, women's sport in particular too, some pretty high profile stuff, one competition getting underway and one coming to its conclusion. So perhaps we could start on that. Lavina, good morning to you. Super Rugby or Picky Final? I saw the highlights and I was pretty impressed with the intensity and the attitude and the passion that was involved.
Yeah, what a shame they put it on round about the same time as the Warriors. What is up with New Zealand Rugby? It cracks me up. I know it has to be played at some stage, but why don't New Zealand Rugby just say the NRL is a great brand and a great product and let's not try and compete with it, and let's show the, you know, give the wahine a little bit of respect and put it on a time where fans will actually turn up for it. I was impressed with the final and I liked the competition. I don't think it's long enough for a start. I just thought it was ridiculous that it wasn't really testament to respecting the occasion, I don't think, because regardless of what was going to happen, all the fans were going to turn out for the Warriors, and I'm sure there would have been a few fans that would have gone to the women's rugby if it wasn't on at the same time. So that was my biggest issue with the All Picky, but I love the competition. I think it's great for women's rugby, and obviously on the back of the World Cup and the World Championships, they're saying let's invest some more time, effort and money into women's rugby, but a really poor decision by New Zealand Rugby to put that on round about the same time as the Warriors. I'm pretty sure they'll regret that one, Smitty.
Well, I think that they should doubly regret it when you consider the next sport I'm about to ask you about is that was round one of the ANZ Premiership in Hamilton, which is, an hour and a quarter down the road, or an hour and 20 minutes down the road from Auckland. You get a good run. That started exactly the same time on a Saturday as well. So, I mean, what are we thinking here in terms of our overall scheduling? And what did you make of round one? Well, it's not over yet because there's a game tonight, Southern Steel against the Tactics tonight. But the start of ANZ Premiership this year, has it got you going?
It's an interesting time for netball, I do believe. I reckon they kind of killed the golden goose when the Trans-Tasman Championships were cancelled. You just have to look at the performance of the Silver Ferns over the last couple of years, not really reaping the rewards of what they should be doing as a sport that gets a whole lot of investment from Sport New Zealand. And I think that if you want netball to be on fire, then, you know, get that combination going back with Australia. Release those rules so that you can play for Australian teams and still be a Silver Fern. It's ridiculous that they haven't allowed that. And also on the back of the Sky TV deal, it's gone from, $8 million down to $4 million. And I just think Netball New Zealand are thinking, what can we do to get the fans along and make things a little bit more interesting? And to do that, you have to have a competition against Australia, play against the Australians, have the Australian players playing for us, and even against the English as well. It needs to have a facelift. And I think on the back of that Sky TV deal, that's what will happen. The option will be there for New Zealand teams to compete in that Australian competition and generate a little bit more interest. At the moment, I haven't spoken to a lot of people, Smitty, that watch the netball at the weekend, but I've spoken to a whole lot of people that watch the Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I wonder too, when the Warriors women's team kicks in and there's still this increasing desire for, the money's up, the opportunity to make bickies in the NRLW as well. I just wonder how that's going to play out at some stage.
It's a great competition, the NRLW, and it was unfortunate throughout that lockdown COVID period where the Warriors couldn't put a Wahine team in, but now that's something that will change. It's because the NRL itself is a fantastic product. And Smitty, you don't even have to be a Warriors fan or a fan of a specific team to enjoy the footy. You can actually enjoy the product, and that's what the NRL has going for it at the moment. And it's great for women's rugby league. It's promoted really, really well in Australia. I know it's expensive for the Warriors to enter the NRLW because of the travel costs, and I don't doubt that whatsoever. But women's rugby league is honestly on the way up worldwide, and you'll see more women playing rugby league as time goes by. When 5-10 years ago they only played rugby, and that'll happen on the back of the Warriors being part of that NRLW competition.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a genuine threat. I really do. Right, okay, let's look at the Warriors. Had you given up on them with about 3 minutes to go?
Yeah, funny. Like, they were down 16-0 for the first half an hour, and I just thought there were too many errors from the Warriors in that first half, uncharacteristic errors. And I thought there's no way that they'll win the match. And they were down by 8, with a minute to go. So it was quite surprising. A controversial decision. I'm questioning it. I've seen the replay about 24 times, and I think to myself, well, you see a whole lot of that, but the NRL now has set a precedent. So whether or not that'll happen every single game, I do not know. Whether or not they need to change the rules, maybe they need to eliminate the charge down from the game of rugby league, or say to the players, the defensive players, they're not allowed to leave the ground when they're charging down the ball. I know the protection factor is there for the kickers. I honestly didn't think the Warriors were the better team. I thought Manly were far better, but it was, for me, I guess, in the second half when the Warriors forwards just really got stuck in. I have so much admiration for Tohu Harris, you know, and it's not just the stats, Smitty, like 50 tackles, 150 running metres, etc., but it's just his mana on the field. And when he's making 50 tackles and running 150 metres, you see Noah Blake going, OK, well, I'll make 50 tackles and I'll run 200 metres. And then Barnett goes, well, I'll do 50 tackles, I'll run 170 metres. And Wade Egan, who had a very average season three years ago, all of a sudden has gone, I'm playing in a pack of superstars at the moment. And they all want to play for each other. So it was the forwards for me that won that game for the Warriors in the second half. And the errors were eliminated. I'm not sure if they should have, well, not won it, it was a draw, but I'm not sure if they should have got there in the end to have the draw. I didn't agree with the decision, and I'll be interested as the weeks go by to see whether or not those penalties continue for a charge down of that effect. It seems slightly innocuous to me. And I mean, we could compare it, I guess, you know, to the week before where... was it Lessick? Yeah, it was actually. I think it was Lessick anyway. And
Freddie Lessick.
Down Lachlan Ilias in the New South Wales Cup. And Ilias ended up breaking his leg and he got the match ban for that. But I actually didn't think that was too bad a charge down either. But it's there now. The precedent has been set. So let's see it continue throughout the competition. And the Warriors were lucky to get away with a point with that one. But I tell you what, Manly are pretty hot shot at the moment. And it was always going to be a tough task for the Warriors. Looking for that first win at home, which they still haven't secured. But they had to fight back in that second half, and it was impressive, and it makes great entertainment, doesn't it? I mean, the fans loved it. Everyone watching from home loved it, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, no one's watching the women's rugby, that's for sure. They're going to be watching the Warriors.
Yeah, well, they certainly would when the second half rolled around. There's no doubt about that. As we said, got to look at that kind of scheduling. Incidentally, just whisper in my ear that every Warriors starting player made over 40 tackles, so that's pretty high.
How about
high
that?
Work rates.
How about that?
Yeah.
That would there would be no
at,
other.
At,
I don't
in
think
the pack,
there'd be another team this
yeah.
weekend where every yeah. one of the pack players made over 40 tackles.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
And even like Wade Egan made 58 tackles and ran for 100 metres. That's incredible.
Yeah,
they're in the zone at the moment, the Warriors, and they're showing a bit of faith. And a couple of losses at the start of the year didn't seem to faze them at all. Andrew Webster is a real cool cat. He's a cool customer. They absolutely adore him. And it's his dressing room behaviour, apparently, that has won the respect of all of his players. The way he addresses them in the sheds, you know, it's like no other coach. And he knows he's got something special. He's looking forward to the rest of the year. As are we. Where are they now? Sixth place, I think. Sixth on the ladder now, Smitty. Climbing up there.
Yep.
And it's a very long season, as we know, with the NRL. Very long indeed.
Well, we can look forward to with relish. Eels fans might be able to look forward to it a bit more positively. It was a nice win over the Cowboys, wasn't it?
I just love I love you for letting me talk about the Eels, Smitty. I love you for that. I do. I was really impressed with their second half performance as well. I mean, the Cowboys, you know, Drinkwater scored his tries and pointed up to his family in the stands, and I'm like, oh God, this is going to be quite hard. But then you've got someone like Junior Polo and Regan Campbell that come out and, you know, do 140, 150 metres, I think, which is incredible. Mm. It's not about the stats, it's about the effort and the attitude. And, you know, that victory for the Eels was deserving, but it was very necessary for someone like Brad Arthur, because questions are being asked of the long-term Parramatta coach as to whether or not he has the ability to take them all the way. You know, that premiership has kind of eluded them since the 80s, and you can't ride on the coattails of being a good coach forever. Eventually, you have to have the performances there and the wins, and they showed that they did pretty good against the Cowboys. Gutherson, as a captain, you know, his try assists were more impressive than a try or even his line breaks. You know, he just looked really, really comfortable, and he ran more than 120 metres as well. It was needed by the Eels. They really needed to score the points, but it was more the attitude, and the attitude from the Eels makes someone who's an Eels fan show a bit of faith as the season continues.
Olympic pay. I know this is something you want to get your teeth into here. 50,000 US for gold, nothing for the rest. What do you make of that?
It's really interesting. This is an interesting topic. When it was first touted, being a journalist, I'm like, no, like the Olympics is amateur for me. I've been to heaps of Olympics as a commentator. In fact, I'm going to the Olympics this year to call the water polo. And I thought, no, it's amateur. But then I thought, I'm actually getting paid more than the athletes that I'm calling. And there's billions of dollars made from the Olympics, and none of it really gets trickled back to the athletes. So initially I wasn't a fan of it. And a good friend of mine here, Liz Van Willey, who's a former Olympic swimmer and won a medal at the Commonwealth Games, said to me, these athletes are putting so much hard work in, decades and decades of effort and money, and they get very little reward for it. And there's money being made at the Olympics. So I'm not opposed to it. I've listened to Mahi Drysdale, who's explained to me that these athletes need reward because the Olympics is about the athletes. I'm probably not a big fan of it just going for the gold medalists. I would probably prefer it to be a pool for the athletes competing at the Olympic Games. But then I think back in 2008 when I was in Beijing and Roger Federer won a gold medal at the tennis, how comfortable would I feel about Roger Federer getting $50,000 for winning a gold medal at the Olympics? So it's a really dodgy, tricky one, and I know people have difference of opinions, and I initially said no, but after talking to athletes, I'm starting to think there might be an opportunity there for athletes to reap the reward from, you know, what the Olympics are getting. And some people are making billions of dollars out of the Olympics, but I can tell you this, it's not the athletes, and they're the ones that are providing the entertainment.
Interesting, Lavina. Always very interesting having you on the show. I love your opinions, and go on those Eels. Go on those Eels. Eh? Thank you so much. Have a terrific week, Lavina. Enjoy the school holidays. I'm sure you do. It's coming up to 10:53 here on SENZ, and that was The Bulletin with Lavina Good this morning.